Welcome to the TaxCast, 15 minutes of eye-opening global news and analysis on tax havens and corruption services from the Tax Justice Network, with me, Naomi Fowler. The TaxCast is available to everyone for download and broadcast on www.tackletaxhavens.com. First, the TaxCast news headlines. It's not been a good month for the banking industry. There are too many scandals to fit in these headlines, but here's a quick roundup. Barclays Bank falsified rates to their own advantage and to the cost of their own customers, with other major banks also under investigation. JP Morgan lost billions from bad credit trades. US criminal investigators are looking into fraud allegations. German tax authorities raided the homes of Credit Suisse clients. French officials searched the homes of UBS employees. There were raids on UBS branches in Lyon, Bordeaux and Strasbourg because of money laundering and tax evasion allegations. And HSBC Bank was accused of facilitating staggering amounts of fraud and money laundering by the US Senate's Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations. Criminal money, drug money, and terrorist money seem to have just washed in and out. $7 billion was shipped in cash from the Mexican branch to the US in just 1 year. But so far, no prosecutions. What it all shows is large parts of the banking and finance sector are corrupt and need reform. Fraud and corruption writer Jeffrey Robinson.
HSBC is the tip of the iceberg of what we're seeing in the international banking world that's got to be called a culture of entitlement. These banks feel they can get away with anything because the regulators are asleep. What should happen is very simple. Prosecutions are the next step. You take some of these bankers and you put them in a 6x4 cell, and that will get the attention of the other bankers. And they will suddenly say, oh no, I better clean up my act because I don't want to go to jail either. What will happen, however, is probably nothing. HSBC appeared before Congress and they said, we're sorry. And although Congress will try its best to do something, this is an election year and money comes in from banks to politicians and speaks very loudly. Once again, the banks will probably get away with it. It will only stop when you start prosecuting the bankers.
But it's not all gloom and doom. In Norway, the government's announced all Norwegian companies must report how much tax they pay in each country where they operate. Previously, they'd been able to do what multinationals elsewhere in the world do, bundle it all up into one figure and pay tax in the cheapest jurisdiction they can find. It's costing developing countries billions. We'll have more later on the implications of Norway's decision. The gap between the world's rich and poor is worse than previously thought. The Tax Justice Network has just released groundbreaking new research on the offshore assets of the super rich. Tax Justice expert Richard Murphy.
It's called The Price of Offshore Revisited. The figure has gone up enormously. We thought it was $11.5 trillion in 2005, but the figure could be $21 trillion now, and the top of the figure is $32 trillion. So we've gone for the lowest number in the range. Now that's enormously significant because it shows, on the most cautious of estimates of investment return, that money will give rise to a loss of tax revenue in developing and developed countries of over $200 billion a year.
When the offshore wealth of some of the world's supposedly poorest countries is taken into account, this research shows the developing world has been a significant creditor of the developed world for more than a decade. To find out more and read the report, go to www.taxjustice.blogspot.co.uk. And finally, the government of Somalia is corrupt at the highest levels. That's according to a leaked United Nations report. It says 70% of aid money for development and reconstruction has disappeared. That's $7 in every 10. But of course, embezzlement on that scale can't happen without tax havens. Alvin Mosioma of the Tax Justice Network in Africa.
The money that is stolen out of Africa is not kept in Africa. It is hidden in some havens in Switzerland, in Jersey, in Guernsey, calling into question the practices of countries that are calling for better governance in poor countries, but at the same time providing the havens. What is your understanding of corruption?
And that might be an interesting question for a bank like HSBC. They seem happy to turn a blind eye to dirty cash. And those are the Tax Justice news headlines. Now we're going to talk to Richard Murphy for his take on tax justice events this month. Right, Richard, let's start with Norway. They're going to make all Norwegian companies report how much tax they pay in each country where they operate. Good news.
Any multinational company based in Norway will have to disclose how much tax it does or does not pay in every country in which it operates. It paves the way to the disclosure of all the information about what their sales are in those countries, what their profits are in those countries, and so on, which truly gives us country-by-country reporting. And it sets the path for genuinely moving towards a new understanding of how companies organise their internal structures to not pay tax.
Okay, so we've got the EU currently considering adopting country-by-country reporting legislation. Won't unscrupulous companies just register outside Norway or register outside the EU? I mean, isn't Singapore and places like this going to be the direct beneficiaries of legislation like this?
The answer is that actually it is going to be very hard indeed for most companies to get around this legislation. If they are registered on a European stock exchange, or in the case of Norway, in a Norwegian stock exchange, then they are going to be subject to these rules. Now, there are a lot of companies who, for tax purposes, are incorporated in tax havens. For example, Glencore is incorporated in Jersey. And the European rules and the Norwegian rules are about companies that are registered on their stock exchanges as well as companies that are registered in their locations, so actually incorporated in those countries. So this is quite clever stuff. They've got the companies in two ways. And whilst the companies can try and move to a tax haven for incorporation purposes, there are no credible stock exchanges in tax havens, and as a result, they're not going to be located there. So there's going to be no place to hide.
Okay, well, let's move on to HSBC, and you really couldn't make up some of this stuff. They say they're very sorry.
I'm sure they say they're very sorry. They're very sorry to have been found out. Everybody is when they're caught. Time and again, we in the Tax Justice Network have rejected the claims that large banks make and tax havens make that they are well regulated. The pieces of paper might be in place to say that regulation was happening, but the reality was that on the ground, tax evasion and money laundering was taking place. This pinstripe mafia of bankers, lawyers and accountants who operate tax haven locations on behalf of these banks are facilitating international crime. We need to now change the regulations, we need to change the rules on banking, we need to change the rules on tax havens to stop this happening again. And all those things are possible.
Why are we not seeing any prosecutions? This is clearly massive fraud.
It is extraordinary that there are no prosecutions going on here, and the difficulty that we have time and again in the UK is that it is very difficult under UK law to say that a particular person has undertaken a fraud when a corporation has done it. In the USA, under the Sarbanes-Oxley laws with regard to internal controls, there is personal liability for the people who sign the accounts. Literally, put their signature to say the accounts are right on the balance sheet. And that's normally the chairman or the chief executive or the finance director. And if there's something wrong, there was a failure of internal control, then they're liable. Now, it's very obvious there was a failure of control at HSBC. They were not regulating money laundering. It's expected they'll pay a fine of at least $1 billion. These people have cost the company and the shareholders, who might be pensioners and others, in this company a great deal. And yet they can walk away in the UK. That's not reasonable. We have to make a change in the law to now hold these people to account for what they do wrong and make them personally liable, not just for the cost, but for the criminal penalty.
Thanks, Richard. Richard Murphy, Tax Research UK blogger and author of The Courageous State. And now for the TaxCast special feature. This month, the Olympic Games begin in the UK in East London. It's one of the world's largest and most lucrative sporting events, and it tells us a lot about how corporate interests and their use of tax havens have captured nation states, to everyone's detriment but theirs. This month, the TaxCast takes a look at the world's newest tax haven. Back in 2005, it was announced that London had been chosen to host the Olympics.
The International Olympic Committee has the honour of announcing that the Games of the 30th Olympiad in 2012 are awarded to the city of London.
The cost to British taxpayers for hosting the Olympics has gone from £2.5 billion to around £11 billion. That's over $17 billion, and it's still rising. It could reach £24 billion, over $37 billion.
Well, isn't this exciting? The biggest logistics project in British peacetime history, the biggest construction project anywhere in Europe. This is about Britain, it's about our country, and it's about a successful Olympics. Are we going to put on a successful Olympics?
Politicians have made lots of promises about the benefits to UK citizens. That was Britain's Prime Minister. But what does he mean by successful? Successful for who? Tim Hunt from Ethical Consumer magazine investigated the Olympics and its organisers.
The International Olympic Committee pay very low rates of tax because they're registered in Switzerland, which is considered a tax haven.
And they're projected to make £2.7 billion of profits from the London Olympics. Now, tell me about the East London Olympic site, because something very significant is going to change for East London. What's that?
In 2006, the government pushed legislation through Parliament, and this legislation basically sets a zero tax rate for any companies operating within the Olympic sites who are considered official Olympic partners. That means it's going to become a tax haven for the duration of the Games.
And because of that, he estimates the amount of tax lost to the UK will be £600 to £700 million. That's over $1 billion, and that's a conservative estimate. Now, right from the start, the International Olympic Committee insist that all cities wanting to bid to host the Olympics sign a contract with them. Candidate cities must agree to provide such things as air-conditioned, chauffeured limousines, dedicated traffic lanes for VIPs, 4- and 5-star hotel rooms, and no taxes to pay for their Olympic corporate partners. Meanwhile, they'll benefit from new infrastructure, new buildings and security provided by the state, by taxpayers. Anna Minton, author of Ground Control, Fear and Happiness in the 21st Century City.
According to the House of Commons Public Accounts Committee, the private sector has contributed just 2% of the entire budget. Well, I mean, it's ridiculous. This is supposed to be private sector-led development, but it's entirely subsidised by us, the taxpayer. The possibility of recouping that money back for the taxpayer is as likely as Greece is to repay its debts.
Tim Hunt says, except for British Airways, these zero tax-paying Olympic partners are no strangers to tax avoidance strategies. They operate subsidiary companies in well-known low-tax or no-tax jurisdictions.
The list of corporate sponsors is like a who's who of tax haven users. Companies like Coca-Cola, who have subsidiaries in tax havens such as Barbados, Singapore and Switzerland. There's also Adidas, who have subsidiaries in Cyprus and Singapore and Panama and Switzerland. BP, 21 subsidiaries in the Bahamas, for instance. So the official Olympic partners have a record of using tax havens.
But leaving the tax loss aside, what about the Olympic legacy? There have been lots of promises on how the Olympic Village site will provide permanent jobs, affordable housing and public parks for East Londoners who live in one of Europe's poorest areas. Just 1 year ago, there were riots on these streets. Anna Minton again.
The Olympic organisers are just in a different world. They're occupying a totally different bubble with their promises of affordable housing. Basically, the Olympic Village has now been sold off to a consortium led by the Qatari royal family. So it's going to be an entirely privately owned, privately controlled, private estate.
Since Ethical Consumer magazine's story on all this, 5 Olympic partners have announced they will now pay tax on the profits they make, including McDonald's, Visa and Coca-Cola. It does go to show that even when governments are weak, corporations will change under pressure. Tax justice expert Richard Murphy.
We've proven that tax is an issue of corporate social responsibility, and that's why this has been so important. For the first time, companies have had to accept, publicly, that they can decide to pay tax or not.
It's clear companies would have participated in one of the world's largest sporting events without temporary tax haven status. And they'd continue to do their business in a world without tax havens too. You've been listening to the Taxcast. We'll bring you more news and analysis next month.